1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. We welcome you to another edition of Feldis and Kale. We are proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive at 124 Store Street in Concord, 603-225-7988, or on the web at weedfamilyautomotive.com. And Dan, I'll tell you what, looking forward to this program because we have a great guest, and she has been with us in the past, but it seems like it's been a long time. She's been on quite a hiatus.
Too long.
And
too long.
We're talking, and I know she really in real life has not been on a hiatus. She's been very busy. It's Amy Hall. She's the executive director of Granite State Dairy Promotion. And Amy, first off, we are really headed down the home stretch of the ice cream trail.
We are. The deadline is October 18th. So, you know, over this weekend, this is typically the time when most ice cream shops will say, all right, this is it. This is the end of our season. So if you are out there and you're trying to complete this, which I'm sure people have read that map over and over again, I need those passports submitted by October 18th. So get out there, hit the road. Most people have reported they only have 3, 4, maybe 5 stops left. So well wishes to those people as they hit the road.
And, of course, the good part of that, I mean, you know, they still have another weekend to go, and it's Columbus Day weekend. I know a lot of school districts have a 4-day weekend coming up, off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
That's a lot of ice cream you can eat in those 4 days.
Yeah,
you
know, you gotta make a lot of stops on that ice cream trail. And then when everybody gets their submissions in, we're going to have a big grand prize drawing right here on Feldis and Kale.
You are absolutely right. What is the Thursday after the 18th? My brain is so scrambled. So whatever that Thursday, 18th, the 20th, right? That's our next.
You're scrambling my brain too here, but this is we're recording this on the 7th of October, so that would be what are we looking at, the 21st?
21st.
Okay, perfect. That's the day.
All right.
This is the day we draw the winner.
So anybody listening, do two things. Number one, go out and eat as much ice cream as you can.
Yeah.
Finish
That's
your
always
trail.
Good advice. Yeah.
Finish the ice cream trail. And number two, listen on October 21st, right here on Feldis and Kale, the most amazing, exciting, jam-packed drawing, grand prize drawing you will ever listen to on radio.
There you go. I might even have a drum roll for that. We'll see.
We can find an app.
If we can work it into our expense accounts to get a drum roll on this program. But at any rate, Amy Hall is with us, and Amy, you have been, I know, out straight over the last several weeks. So why?
Oh my goodness! Well, you know, we had an office move. So our office used to be housed in the Department of Agriculture for well over 30 years. It's been a distinct honor. It's been a pleasure. You know, when COVID hit, I found particularly that I am much more efficient and productive working from home. You have to keep in mind that I work for dairy farmers. My phone will ring as early as 5 a.m. And I always say that you got to know them to promote them. And honestly, if my farmers are up and working in a barn, I better be up and behind a computer or out there participating in terms of marketing. So when your day starts at 5 a.m. and a state office opens at 8 a.m., it really is a little bit of a midday hindrance because I'm already 3 hours into my day. So it was a very tough decision, and we appreciate from Commissioner Taylor to Commissioner Merrill and Commissioner Jasper currently, you know, for welcoming us into that space. And the office joke, you know, for all of these years has always been that we are their stepchild, and we always felt that love and that companionship. But it just, you know, on an efficiency level and everything that we have going on, it just made more sense. So everybody loves moving, right? I mean, the process
of course,
moving
yeah.
also always yeah. joyful. So that took up a good deal of my time. And then additionally, we have our major Check Your Jugs campaign going on, you know, looking and encouraging people to look for code 33. We have a lot of exciting things going on behind the scenes with that, some big announcements, which when you're working on a project of this magnitude, which has already started to grow legs on a national level, it's very exciting because local, specifically in milk deficit states, is extremely important, not just in New Hampshire, but every state in our nation. Our dairy farmers are so very important. So we want to be sure that any other state who may be facing the same difficulty may be able to have some access to this program. So that's exciting. And then once we get off the phone today, I have also been planning a documentary. So we are going to be starting on Tuesday the 12th and filming all the way through to the 14th, different farms and different stories. And it is going to be a half hour piece that highlights the benefits of dairy producers here in New Hampshire. It will also highlight some of their struggles that they face on a daily basis. How do they diversify? What do they do in order to continuously feed their local communities while taking massive losses each and every month? Typically, what we do, and if you go to our website, folks, which is nhdairypromo.org, you will find a series of videos there of several different farms. And they're about, you know, 10 minutes each, 5 to 10 minutes, and they're quite informative. However, that was done about 5 or 6 years ago. Time kind of blends for me. And the story has evolved. The story has changed. What our consumers need to hear, that we desperately need to get out into the public, is what the loss of these farms mean to New Hampshire, to New Hampshire's economy, to our local food systems, to our tax base. It is absolutely a pure devastation of reality. And that is the message that needs to put out there, because sometimes that's the impact that people need to feel. It goes beyond education. It's a feeling. And that's where we need to get at this point.
Well, what are we down to? 98 dairy farms? Is that the number, Amy, in the state?
93.
93?
Mm-hmm.
93.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we are now down to 93, and that's why it's, you know, so very important, you know, on your milk jugs to be looking for code 33. What you will notice, you know, when you do go into a grocery store or the grocery aisle, I would encourage people to take a look, you know, starting at the very far left, of some of the milk products and what the codes are on there. If it is not 33, it is coming in from another state. And a lot of these milk products and milk brands, I won't mention them, but they are coming in from the likes of California. They're coming in from the likes of Illinois. And I can't blame consumers. Nobody can. They just simply don't know.
Right.
When you take that product off the shelf, that has not come, it has not touched a dairy farm in New Hampshire. A New Hampshire dairy cow has had no part in that. Your dairy farm who may be, you know, 10 miles up the road from you, or even 20 miles up the road from you, has had absolutely no part or contribution in that product that you are choosing. And it is my belief that our consumers don't want that. What they want is to understand how to support local. And up until the Check Your Jugs campaign, there really hasn't been an easy, tangible way to allow consumers to make that informed choice.
Well, I think the thing you have to do is have Larry Bird be your spokesperson.
Right.
Number 33.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Because, you know, when I think of the number 33, which is the code for New Hampshire, You know, what do I think of? I think of Larry Bird. I mean, that's the only 33 I think of, so it's easy to remember.
I think of milk.
Yeah, think of milk. Yeah, there you go.
Got to think of that milk.
I think of Gronk.
Yeah. The Gronk.
But he's number 87. You don't want that.
I mean, it's just 87 minus 34.
Okay, there you go.
Right.
Who else is 33, though, on the Patriots? Isn't there somebody? No.
33? Not that immediately comes to mind.
You know, sometimes the blonde in me comes out. This is one of those moments, gentlemen. You'll have to forgive it.
I think Jason Veritek was number 33.
Thank you. That's what I'm trying to think of.
Yeah. Veritek was.
Well, I'm looking at the roster right now. Let me see.
Dan is doing some research right here. But it's very, you know, I think that one of the problems is, Amy, and I know, you know, with the Check Your Jugs campaign, you're creating awareness. But I don't think a lot of people, you know, really know, you know, that there is a code that they can tell where the milk is from. And, you know, I bet most of the population isn't even aware of that.
Well, and that's the whole goal of this, is to make the population aware of this. As it is with any marketing campaign, this is one that isn't going to go away. This is something that we want to drill into the brains of New Hampshire residents, New Hampshire citizens. And, you know, we're up to, what is it now? It's 9 times. It's gone up from 8. 9 times somebody has to hear that same message over and over and over again be able to mentally retain it. And that is the goal of Check Your Jugs. And it will never, ever go away until we can touch, hopefully, every single citizen. I think reaching for the 1 million mark, for me, it seems big, but there's never a mountain too tall that I won't try to climb. So that's definitely the goal, Ken, exactly.
Yeah.
People don't know that information. So it is our responsibility, my responsibility, to make sure that people do know.
Amy is right. I checked it up. Speaking of checking things out, I checked it out here.
Yeah.
There is a number 33 on the New England Patriots.
And it is?
The backup right cornerback, Jawan Williams.
Okay.
So, Amy, you were right.
Okay.
Jason Veritek does still wear the number 33. He's a coach now with the Red Sox, and he still wears number 33. So remember Jason Veritek or Larry Bird or...
Jawan Williams, backup right cornerback.
There you go.
Amy, where is the number 33 on the jugs, just so listeners know, to get that New Hampshire milk when they're in the store?
Sure. The code can be found right up by the expiration date. So there will be 33 is your state code. So that means that that was bottled and processed right here in New Hampshire. So that gives you about a 98% shot there or chance that that is coming from New Hampshire farms. We, you know, the dairy industry is very complex. So sometimes milk has to get blended in from other states. But code 33 is your best shot. Then there will be a dash or a space that is followed by 2 other numbers. That indicates the plant that it was bottled and processed in. So a perfect example would be 33, which is your New Hampshire state code. Then there'll be a space, and 08 is the most popular. And 08 is the Hood plant right in Concord. So in terms of locality, I'll break this down for people so they know just how local these brands are. Sloping Acres Farm in Canterbury, Highway View Farm in Bosquen, Moral Farm Dairy in Penacook. Then you have Topline Farm in Pittsfield. I could go through a lot of them. Their milk travels to the Hood plant. So from their farm to the Hood plant, it is no more than 15 miles or a 20-minute drive. So if that helps people to understand the locality of the product, that's another good way to explain it to them. That really is just how local your milk is when you look for code 33.
How many plants are there in New Hampshire?
There are 1, 2, 3. You know what, Ken? I'll have to pull up my list because I don't want to be wrong on this. I want to say that there are 6.
Mm-hmm.
So bear with me.
Okay.
Now I got to find it, of course.
All right. I will fill and just tell folks that you're listening to Feldis and Kale at 103.9 1450 WKXL. Amy Hall is with us. She is the executive director of Granite State Dairy Promotion, one of our proud sponsors here on this radio program. And Amy right now is researching to find out how many milk processing plants we have in the state of New Hampshire.
We are.
Yeah.
So now I have it up, our IMS list. We have in New Hampshire 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Six milk processing plants. The closest one to us, of course, would be the Hood plant on North State Street in Concord, which is a place I passed many, many times. I've never been in the plant. I've never been in the place.
Do they do tours?
I don't know.
They do not, and the public will never be in there. I had the distinct, the very distinct honor of being able to get a tour of that plant when I first started this job. But this is a food system, and dairy is one of the most regulated commodities in terms of food in the entire nation. Right next to that is beef, but they don't, in terms of public admittance, they want to make sure that the dairy stays pure. It's not because they have anything to hide, don't get me wrong, but it's just about the purity and the safety of the product.
And Ken and I would probably be the last people invited in to trudge around a clean place like that.
But you know, when I was going to school, I went to school just outside of Boston, and there was a Hood plant in either Somerville or Charlestown, right in that area of the Bunker Hill Monument, not too far from that in Boston. And that used to be a popular spot when they took kids on a field trip, like from the 4th, 5th, 6th grades, from the Roosevelt School in Melrose. We used to go, I think I went once, but it was a popular destination, the Hood plant in the Boston area. But I think, you know, standards and that sort of thing have probably come a long way since those days back in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah. No, it would surprise you. I get a lot of telephone calls, too, from, you know, people in the public wanting to know, where specific dairy farms are. And I can't give out that information because there's a risk there. It's almost like, a cold or the flu or, I hate to say it, even COVID. Our dairy producers don't want outsiders on their farm specifically because they could bring in things on their feet, on their shoes, pet or another animal.
Sure, yeah.
They're very, very protective, and, the same thing applies to plants. Yeah, healthy food is safe food, that's for sure.
How is COVID impacting? We know the kind of impact it's had, on the economy, and how has it impacted our dairy farmers here in New Hampshire?
Well, as it was for any business, when COVID hit, it was devastating. We're very thankful for the CARES Act funding, which really did keep our dairy producers afloat. Very thankful to Commissioner Jasper for his hard work, as well as Governor Sununu, and actually the entire committee. Dairy is such a nonpartisan issue, which is such a relief in that everybody supports and loves our dairy industry. There was a point in time there where, we were having to dump loads of milk.
Yeah.
That's devastating to see.
Yeah.
A giant tanker truck of milk. Their cooperatives had to, say to these dairy producers, you have to stop producing X amount of milk. You can only produce 85% of what you produced last week. So that's where some of that dumping had to come in. Because when you shut markets off overnight from schools, think about how much milk schools go through. From restaurants, how many dairy products restaurants use. Colleges, you name it, the supply chain, it just ended. It's just those markets, and it happened overnight. So that certainly did not help our dairy industry. Of course, now that everything is back up and running, we're back on a level playing field, but, things never change. Things never change for our dairy producers in terms of how the federal milk marketing order works, federal milk blend prices. They are just paid an abysmal amount of money.
Yeah,
when I
definitely.
Say abysmal, I mean that there needs to be a change. I cannot politically advocate. I can't stand in front of politicians and, you know, sort of lobby for this type of thing. But I want to be very loud and clear when I say that one of my dairy producers in 2021 is making the same amount of money as his grandfather did in 1970 with no sense of pricing structure, pricing advancement. It's pretty disgusting to me. And I think that the population as a whole should be disgusted by it, too. And it needs to change.
Amy Hall is with us. Amy, we have to take a quick break here. Amy, the executive director of Granite State Dairy Promotion, Beldis and Kale, 1039 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. Welcome back. It's Beldis and Kale. Great to have you along with us. Also, great to have Amy Hall here, the executive director of Granite State Dairy Promotion, one of our proud sponsors here on the program. Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers have been here since the very start of this program, and we appreciate their support.
The very start.
And also Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. So before the break, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, the margin of profit is very, very small in the dairy industry, and it hasn't improved for many, many years. And now, in addition to that, there's certainly a lot more competition than there used to be.
Yeah, it's difficult to see. And, you know, one of the things that I don't love to do, but I also have to realize in business there are there are realities that need to be faced. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but between the competition, the way that our dairy producers are paid, and the finished milk coming in from out of state, it is a true struggle. And, you know, to put this into perspective for people, I would like to ask them, you know, as a dairy producer, we're talking 365 days a year. They don't get weekends off. They don't get holidays off. It is every day, 12 hours a day. And they make, on average, they clear $14,000 a year. Mm. And they work that hard, and they keep your refrigerator full of healthy products, and they're proud to do it. So when people ask me, why do they stay in it? What's the incentive? It's honestly pride. It's something that's in their blood. It is handed down generation to generation, and local is just as important to them, if not more, than it is to community members and citizens.
Buy that local milk. Get the number 33 on those jugs at the store. Make sure you get it, number 33, by the expiration date. Amy, what are some of the other things that are coming up in addition to the ice cream trail that you've been working on? Obviously, you've been busy with this move, the ice cream trail, a whole host of other things. Is there anything that you haven't mentioned that listeners should be aware of?
Well, I mean, last weekend, I know it's a little bit in reverse. See, when you ask me what's going on, my brain is so busy. So last weekend, we were actually at the New Hampshire Marathon, refueling athletes with chocolate milk. We are looking ahead to partnering once again with Millennium Running, and our first event at the gate with Millennium is going to be Halloween, October 31st, their 5K.
Scary good time.
Yes, and you know what the fun part about this is we know chocolate milk is a tremendous sports recovery beverage, so of course we're going to be at the finish line, but chocolate milk is actually the official beverage of Halloween, too. So it's just this kismic partnership, right? Everything just comes together. Our first event out of the gate with Millennium, official beverage of Halloween, plus a delicious refuel beverage. So we have that up and running now. The new van is out on the road. So, you know, that's another project on my plate. Then, of course, I got to keep up with social media. It's been a while. I got to do that today. I got to get something posted out there on our social media pages. One of my biggest goals right now is growing our Instagram followers to 5,000. We are doing well. We're seeing steady growth there. But that is such a great way for us to reach the public. Radio is wonderful and it's terrific, but not everybody gets to tune in at the same time. Versus on Instagram, if you want to see gorgeous pictures of our farms and their families, if you want to see their cows, if you want to see the landscapes, And if you want to learn more about the facts that surround the industry, that's a great place to be. More so, believe it or not, than our Facebook page. So if you want to find us on Instagram, you can either type in Granite State Dairy Promotion, or our handle is @NHDairy.
Great. I was just going to ask that. You beat me to the punch, Amy.
or to the milk.
You beat me to the chocolate milk.
No, but that is terrific. And you know, I'm old, so I don't really go on Instagram that much, but I think I'm going to make an effort to, just to see the Granite State Dairy Promotion page or whatever it is. Pictures, right? It's a lot of pictures, right, on Instagram?
Yeah, and I have our page formatted in a pretty unique way. So please, you know, feel free to check it out. I make sure that, you know, we have just as many facts in there as we perhaps do photos. You can follow our refuel team on Instagram. We highlight them quite frequently. Of course, the ice cream trail is there. A lot of info. We interject some humor, the information about Check Your Jugs. It's a great platform for us to be on. But right now, my major project coming into next week is definitely that documentary. And our ultimate goal is to get this on PBS because I think the impact here is something that the state needs and that people need to see and be aware of. You know, picturing these wide open, picturesque fields, you know, with condos and with developments. People don't want that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, that is what will happen if we lose these farms.
Yeah, and it would be you're going to film it next week, correct?
Correct. And we'll be filming next week, and then, of course, we have to go through the entire editing process.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it's difficult to know how long something like that takes, but it's we chose this time of year because it's gorgeous here in New Hampshire.
Exactly.
Foliage is out. We're right about at peak, so you know, we look forward to that as well. And the weather is going to be beautiful for this shoot next week. So we're excited and looking forward to it. A lot of work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, but I think it's going to be worth it. In fact, I know it's going to be worth
it. Oh, no doubt about it. And if you could get it on PBS or any network, that would be terrific. That would be outstanding.
Well, of course, we'll put it up on our YouTube channel as well. There will be, you know, our website, YouTube channel. But, you know, I think that the message will be so powerful that we will see networks want to pick this up.
Well, maybe we can have the audio portion of it here on WKXL.
We could certainly go for that.
Yeah. I mean, we can't promise pictures, but we could have the audio portion of it.
Yep. Well, you could describe the pictures, I suppose.
Well, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words, and some just leave you speechless, Amy. It'd be tough to describe some of them.
That could be the interjected narrative, right? Dan comes in and says, worth 1,000 words right now that I'm looking at. And then Ken will take over and say the very same thing. It will be amazing.
We each get 1,000 words per picture.
How many farms will be involved in the documentary?
There are four farms involved. So we have Highway View Farm in Bosquen, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Eckerd Farm in Washington, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. Windyhurst Dairy Farm in Westmoreland, New Hampshire. And then Peter Hawks, he's actually, believe it or not, this is very rare, a new dairy farmer who took over production on a farm over in Alstead. He milks Jerseys. And a young kid, he's, you know, very progressive, and he will be our fourth farm. So I chose very specifically based on farm size, based on how they diversify, and how they came into the business. And each farm has a very individual story that is important to hear. And just because there's four farms in this documentary, you know, they are a reflection in some way, shape, or form of the other 89, once you add those four in, dairy farms in the state.
Outstanding, and looking forward to that. When do you hope to have it released and all edited and that sort of thing?
All edited? I'm hopeful. I am hopeful for winter of 2022. Yeah. This will be quite a challenge. I mean, it really is. It's, you know, it's a mini movie. So our production team, we are working with Atlantic Media, Nancy Vauder. She is absolutely wonderful. She has it gone above and beyond in helping me plan this, and I love it because our visions align. It has been extremely easy to work with her, so I do encourage people to look her up. She is also the same production company that produced the videos that are currently on our website right now.
So really looking forward to that. It is it's going to be a journey for sure, because something like that, you know how long it takes, Dan, to make like a motion picture. Well, this is like, as Amy said, like a mini movie, you know, and a documentary. And I think it'll, you know, certainly prove to be an education for a lot of people who don't even, you know, really, it's not even on their radar. I mean, most people don't even think about it. They show up at the grocery store, grab their milk, and don't even think about the genesis of milk, where it comes from. I know people know it comes from cows, but beyond that, they don't give it really a second thought.
Yeah, and Ken, you mentioned this on a previous show, but you think about where you live, regardless of where you live, but, you know, I think especially in New Hampshire, just right in your backyard, all the different things that are there.
Right.
Including local dairy farmers who are doing such great work and in many cases have different activities, agritourism, that kind of thing, but also just support our local economy. So, and then you got the ice cream trail right in our backyard, everything else. And so there's just, you got to check this stuff out if you're listening. And if you just heard the phrase ice cream trail for the first time, you got a few days left. What, about a week or so left? Plus
less than a week. Less than a week.
Get out there, eat your ice cream, hit some of those stops, and just enjoy it. If you can't get all the stops, that's fine. But hit some of the ice cream trail stops. Local businesses, small businesses. There's a lot to see, especially in the fall here in New Hampshire.
Absolutely, Dan. You nailed it. I had a gentleman call me the other day, and he said, we decided we were going to take this on, and it's one of the best things we've ever done. We saw parts of the state. We never, ever in a million years would have a reason to go to Pittsburgh, and it is one of the most beautiful places we've ever been in New Hampshire. So people, they really, you know, ice cream is great, but it's just so wonderful for the dairy community to be able to work with other communities and other small shops to bring people out of where they typically would go. So it is a wonderful thing. And we will be doing the drawing right here on Feltus and Kale on the 21st. And guess what else we're going to be doing on the 21st?
I don't know.
Well, you all only have a few days left yourselves to do another weigh-in. I still have your number.
Oh, geez.
Now.
Oh, geez.
Oh, that's,
well,
right.
I mean,
boy.
You know, I got put on the injured reserve list, Ken, and I, you know, with the shoulder injury. Yeah. So I got an excuse here for, you know, sitting around a little bit.
And I have no excuses. I have no excuses whatsoever. I have not been on the IR or anything. Or the disabled list, anything like that. No,
well,
so,
we'll have to do that weigh-in, see what happened.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it might have went the opposite direction for both of us.
It might have. It might have. But we had fun doing it.
Hey, you got, this was your idea. I'm just bringing it full circle.
Oh, I know. Yeah, listen, we have to be held accountable here.
Not disputing that. Yeah.
Amy Hall is with us. She is the executive director of Granite State Dairy Promotion and one of our great sponsors here on Feltus and Kale. And we certainly appreciate that support. And in turn, we ask that you support our local dairy farmers who have done such a wonderful job for literally centuries here in the state of New Hampshire. We want to keep as many dairy farms alive as we possibly can. Down to 93. What was the all-time high, Amy?
Since 1970, we were at 850 farms. So you do the math. That's quite a depressing number.
Mm. Wow, that is scary. Amy Hall is with Amy. Do you have a few more minutes?
Sure. For you,
because I want to do some fun facts after this next break. Okay.
Fun facts. Rapid fire.
Fun facts about milk. So hang in there, Amy. It's 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. Maybe another signal in the not-too-distant future. Stay tuned for that, folks. Feltus and Kale, proudly presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers, and by Weed Family Automotive, 124 Store Street in Concord. You can go online. You can make an appointment right now at WheatFamilyAutomotive.com. Back after these words on WKXL. 1039 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Feldis and Kale back at you. Amy Hall is here, the executive director of Granite State Dairy Promotion, as promised. I just found this recently, but 15 fun facts about milk. I'm going to start at number 15. Amy, you've probably seen this. But number 15, countries that drink milk win more Nobel Prizes. And it's true. According to
it.
What's that, Amy?
I believe it. Milk has been shown to boost brain power scientifically.
See, there you go. As of 2013, the nations whose citizens consume the most dairy per capita also win the most Nobel Prizes. Sweden is at the top of the list with 31,855 prizes. How about that? No. I read that wrong. No, they have 31.85 prizes for every 10 million Swedes. 31.85 prizes, Nobel Prizes, for every 10 million Swedes. On average, each Swede consumes 772 pounds of milk annually.
That's a lot of milk, and that's a lot of Nobel Prizes.
It is. Yeah. It is. High.
They're really milking it for what it's worth up there. I couldn't even get through that.
Now, how about the world's largest producer of milk?
Country, you mean?
By country, yeah.
By country, largest producer. I'm going to go with either the United States or Australia. Do I get two picks?
Sure. Any guesses, Amy?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the United States or Canada.
Well, it's actually, according to this list anyway, India. However, there's a however there. Their main product is skimmed milk powder, and they export very few other dairy products. So I guess powdered milk is their expertise or what they do.
That's interesting. I got a fun fact. I just Googled it.
Yeah.
The average dairy cow produces how many gallons of milk per day? Average dairy cow produces an average of X, fill in the spot, number of gallons of milk per day. Anybody got a guess? Amy, Ken?
Well, I know the answer, so I'll let Ken do the guess.
Well, I just actually happen to see it myself here on this fun fact list. But what is it, 6.3?
Well, that's what I have. Amy, what do you have?
It's actually 8.
It's actually 8?
Eight.
Interesting.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's gone up with inflation, I guess, huh?
Right.
it goes up with technology and how farms advance. So, yes, it is actually 8.
Wow, we have dated fun facts here.
That's right. They're dated fun facts now.
They're not so fun anymore. They're just dated.
They're still
fun.
That's still fun. And number 13 is milk is still produced by family farms. And we know that's true. We know that's very true. Let's see. Number 12 is the U.S. dairy industry has repeatedly attempted to sue producers of dairy alternatives. Is that true?
Very true, because it's milk comes from lactating animals. It doesn't come from nuts or seeds. So, yes, they have gone after these alternative beverages.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you go into the store and see all these rows of almond milk or whatever it might be, it's not they're using that term milk, but it's not really.
So the basis of lawsuits are basically the use of the term milk, right, Amy? Is that it?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. It's based on the definition of what milk actually is, and it comes from a lactating animal.
Interesting. And what has been the result of those lawsuits at this point?
No success.
Yeah, I was going to say, I still see stuff called almond milk and whatever in the store. So, all right, mm-hmm. Ken, more fun facts.
It's still there. Well, here's lactating cows drink as much as blank pounds of water daily. Lactating cows drink as much as blank pounds of water daily.
Can I get a shot at this? I'm probably wrong, but I'm going to guess 50. Is that about right, Amy?
Any guesses, Amy?
Well, I don't know the pounds, but I have a reference. I know that it's around a bathtub full of water a day, so I don't think that Dan is far off with his 50-gallon guess.
The answer that I have here, as much as 420 pounds of water daily.
Whew.
Water weighs 8.3 pounds per gallon.
Oh, okay. So if I said 50, did I say 50 pounds or 50 gallons? I forget. But if I did 50 gallons times 8.3.
Yeah, there you go. It's like, you are. You're right in that ballpark. Let's see. The average American consumes how many gallons of milk in a year?
The average American in a year.
Right.
I would say, 120.
Gallons, average American.
If I say 120, that's basically a gallon every 3 days. That seems about right for the average.
I would align with Dan on that. I would go a little higher, probably between 180 and 200.
You know what it says? It says here, and I can't back this up. I'm just reading. It consumes 18 gallons of milk a year. Yeah, while the entire nation goes through roughly 21 billion gallons annually, Americans drink more carbonated soft drinks, bottled water, and beer than milk.
I think where I get thrown off is the definition and how they're qualifying consumption.
Right.
I'm thinking, if you're using a recipe, if you're making soup, I'm sort of qualifying that into consumption. But if they're talking about sitting down and drinking straight glasses of milk, perhaps.
All right. There you go. Here's another one, and I haven't pre-read this. I'm just looking at the bold print here. Milk will stay fresher. Milk will stay fresher if you add salt. Have you ever heard of that?
I have heard of that, but I don't know. Just something in me.
I know it doesn't sound very good.
No, it doesn't.
Butter is
fine, but I don't even like the idea of salt.
I don't like that idea either. I mean, I would say, as an alternative phrase, milk tastes better if there's chocolate in it. Chocolate milk.
Yeah, well, a lot of people love chocolate milk. I like chocolate milk, and it is obviously. It's a great beverage after, a workout, a run, playing a basketball game even a slow pitch softball game. It's great.
They got them on the Peloton bikes now, just chocolate milk.
It's great for recovery. There's no doubt about that, as Amy has told us many times. And we've talked with lots of people on that topic, including the great folks at Prospect Acres Obstacle Course. How are things going there, Amy?
Oh, my goodness. See, this is how scrambled my brain really is.
Well, hold on. Hold that thought. We have to take one quick break, and then we'll be back to hear how scrambled Amy's brain is right here at 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. Welcome back, 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. Feldis and Kale. Presented by Granite State Dairy Promotion and your local New Hampshire dairy farmers and Weed Family Automotive. And before the break, we're going to find out how scrambled Amy Hall's brain is. And we were talking about Prospect Acres Obstacle Course. We have about a minute left.
Okay. Well, our entire team competed in the OCR World Championships. And this year it just happened to be held in Stratton, Vermont, which is very convenient. Next year it's actually going to be in Europe.
Ah.
So when we say world championship, we mean world championship. And I am so stinking proud of our team. First in the 3K age group between the ages of 50 and 58, I believe, is the General Ken Stephen Nelson, who you spoke with.
Yes, I did.
World champion, first place on that podium.
All right. Let's have a round of applause.
That's great.
I know Dan can't. Dan can't. He's got a shoulder injury, so Dan can't. Yeah. But I'm clapping for him. Yeah. Amy,
and then just real quick, yeah? our ladies, first place on their podium, ladies team. So look out for Payock Nation, Prospect Acres Obstacle Course. They're ours.
Congratulations to all. Well deserved. Amy Hall,
that's great.
Thank you so much for being with us right here on Feldis and Kale.
Thanks, Amy.
Gentlemen.